I'm here with Morag Campsey and Kirsty Ritt, part of the audit team behind a new report looking at what kind of job the Scottish Government is making of putting its new financial powers into action. Thanks very much for joining me both. I'd like to begin by setting the scene a little bit. For those of us who don't know that much about the Scotland Acts, what exactly is changing?
Okay, so there's the 2012 and 2016 Scotland Acts, and they devolve a range of powers to the Scottish Parliament. This includes a range of financial and spending powers, some of which we've reported on previously, such as tax-raising powers and the power to borrow within certain limits, but also other responsibilities, for example, the management of the wholly owned Crown Estate in Scotland. There's also a significant increase in Scotland's spending powers with the devolution of the social security powers as well. And Kirsty's probably better placed to tell you more about that.
So the devolution of the social security powers is the most significant area of spending responsibility being devolved to the Scottish Government. This will see 11 existing benefits being devolved. This includes, for example, benefits for carers, disabled people and some low-income and ill health-related benefits. Together, these benefits will account for about £3 billion of spending each year. To put that in context, that's about 15% of the current social security spend in Scotland. And once all the benefits are in place, it'll involve payments to about 1.4 million people each year.
Okay. What does that all mean for the public finances pot then? Your report says things are about to get complex.
Yeah, so prior to this, the majority of the Scottish budget was funded through the block grant from the UK, which was relatively static. The Scottish budget was essentially a spending budget, so the Scottish Parliament was only voting on how the budget would be spent. But now that it's actually a tax-raising and spending budget. Mm-hmm. Once the powers of the Scotland Acts are fully implemented, around half of the Scottish budget will be funded by money raised directly. And that's through taxation such as the new income tax, for example. Mm-hmm. So the budget is going to be based a lot more on forecasts than ever before. If tax collected is more or less than forecast, then that's going to have to be managed within the Scottish budget using its new borrowing powers or reserve powers. Mm-hmm. Also, the performance of the Scottish economy relative to the rest of the UK will have a greater influence on the budget as well. So, as you can see, the Scottish budget is not only becoming far more complex, but it's exposed to greater volatility than ever before as well.
Okay. Moving on to the findings of your report then, you say the Scottish Government is now at a critical point. Why is that?
So we found that the Scottish Government have made good early progress in implementing the social security powers, but this is a large and really complex programme of work. The programme is now at a critical point as it moves towards delivering its first wave of benefits, which are due to be in place from summer 2019. This includes the carers' allowance supplement, the Best Start grant and the funeral expense assistance. It's at a critical point as there's a significant amount of work required in 2018 to meet these planned timescales and indeed to set the groundwork for the remaining benefits. One of the key challenges over the next year will be launching the new Social Security Agency. The government intends this to be in place to deliver the carers' allowance supplement from summer 2018. We find that initial preparations are well underway. For example, temporary accommodation has been identified and plans have been developed for the transfer of staff from the implementation programme to the agency and for the initial amount of recruitment needed to set up the agency. The size and scale of the agency is going to grow significantly as it becomes established. There's challenges within this for the government. These will include to recruit enough staff with the right skills and at the right time to support the rollout of the benefits, to ensure that skills and knowledge are brought over from the programme team into the agency, and to make sure that the organisational and governance structures within the agency grow with its expanding remit. Mm. The Social Security Bill is also an important stage as it progresses towards becoming law. It's anticipated this will happen in early summer 2018. Following this, there'll be a significant amount of work for the government to develop the regulations and policies needed to bring the detail of each benefit into practice.
Okay, so just it sounds like then 2018 is make or break then. Would that be the case?
I think that's the case. And one of the areas which will be really critical is the development of the core IT infrastructure needed for Social Security. Programme, and I think Morag's well placed to pick up on this.
Yeah, so like Kirsty says, a big part of the Social Security programme is getting the IT infrastructure in place to support the delivery of the benefits, but also the business process that underpins all that. Again, this is a huge and complex task, and it requires the integration of a number of IT systems, some of which are owned by other organisations such as the DWP. The Social Security programme is doing this incrementally, but the foundations of the overall long-term IT solution will be developed during 2018, and if there's any issues or delays with any part of this, it could have a knock-on effect in terms of the delivery of the first wave of benefits and thereafter. More widely than that, as we've set out, the Scottish Government is implementing a range of new powers alongside managing its existing powers, but also planning for the UK's withdrawal from the EU and what that might mean for Scotland. And getting the people and the required skills in place to deliver and manage all this to meet current and future demands will be challenging.
Okay. I would imagine as well that how the Scottish Government's actually working with the Department of Work and Pensions, HMRC, as you've mentioned, other bodies, is going to be really vital. Is that the case, and how are they getting on?
Yes, successful delivery of the social security powers in particular is going to be heavily reliant on effective working with others, and in particular with the DWP. As Morag mentioned, this is particularly the case for development of the IT infrastructure, given the significant number of interdependencies with systems and data owned and managed by other bodies. We found evidence of effective working relationships at all levels throughout the Social Security programme, from the Director General to delivery level teams. I think it's important to say the importance of these relationships is going to be ongoing as the devolved benefits are rolled out, as existing recipients continue to be transferred over to new systems, and also beyond, as the devolved arrangements work alongside those that remain at the UK level. So these ongoing relationships are going to need to be carefully managed and maintained by the Scottish Government. I think it's fair to say we found similar evidence of effective relationships in the other areas, and I think Morag can pick up on these.
Okay. Yeah, so other areas where we found similar examples of would be within the employability programme, again working well with DWP, and also various Scottish Government finance teams who have had to work with HMRC and Treasury on some of the tax raising and borrowing powers, for example. And as Kirsty mentioned as well, this was at all levels of the organisation.
Okay, so at this point in time, that sounds like a real positive. But your report also says that the Scottish Government needs to be clearer about the costs behind putting the new powers into action. Can you just elaborate on what you mean by that and what you found?
Yeah, this was something that we reported on in our March 2017 report as well. We feel that greater transparency is needed around how much it's costing to implement the new powers, how these budgets are allocated and how any underspends in this area are reported as well. We feel that having an understanding of how much it's costing to implement these powers may help the Scottish Government and Parliament get a better understanding of potential costs in implementing any further devolved powers in the future, and it will obviously help with medium and long-term financial planning as well. We know that the Scottish Government will have drawn down the full £200 million UK contribution to implementation costs by the end of March 2018. Some of this will be carried forward to be used in future years using the Scotland Reserve. So it will be important for this to be clearly reported, and the Government does intend to provide some information on how it's using the Scotland Reserve later on in this year in its first fiscal framework outturn report. We've estimated in the report that the Scottish Government will have spent around £62 million on implementing the new powers by the end of 2017-18. And it's things like that we think should be more clearly and transparently reported.
Reading your report, it seems quite clear that the UK Government contribution of £200 million is only going to be a contributing amount. It's actually going to cost a lot more to deliver these powers. Has the Scottish Government got any sense of how much that's going to be?
So there's a number of obviously programmes going on, and one of the biggest programmes is, as we've said, the Social Security programme. So it's estimated earlier on in the year that it will cost around £308 million to implement the Social Security powers alone, which is already much more than the £200 million. But as we know, there's much wider powers than that that the Scottish Government has and will have to implement.
And that's presumably why you're calling for more transparency and more clarity around these budget numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Your report also talks about the need for the Scottish Government to agree the governance and organisational arrangements of the new Scottish Exchequer. Why is that important?
So it's important that the governance and organisational structures are in place and operating effectively to support and oversee these key areas that we've been speaking about. For example, the tax raising, the fiscal policy, and also around financial sustainability. For example, the development of a medium-term financial strategy and also the fiscal framework outturn report. And these are areas which the new role of the DG Scottish Exchequer will oversee. So it's important that, like I say, these governance structures are put in place because they'll have a crucial role in overseeing and scrutinising key decisions and to make sure that everything's still on track.
Okay, Kirsty, just to turn to you again then, to sum up, what are the recommendations, the key recommendations for the Scottish Government that you're making?
Well, as Morag's just been mentioning about the Scottish Exchequer function, we've recommended that the government finalise its governance and organisational arrangements for this function. We've also touched earlier on the government's workforce capacity, and we've recommended that it further develop its analysis of its capacity and finalise its plans to ensure it has the right people in place to meet current and future demands. Our final recommendation for the government is to identify the expected overall costs of implementing the Scotland Act powers.
Kirsty, thank you very much. Morag, thank you to you too. And if you want to read our Scotland Acts report, you can download it from our website, audit-scotland.gov.uk.